Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Crosswalk Talk with ordained ministers Carlotta Waldman and her co-host Pat Torek. We call it Crosswalk Talk because Jesus died on the cross so that we can walk the walk and live the life in Him. And we all know that our walk talks much louder than our talk talks. This is your opportunity to share true stories of God intervening in the lives of real people today. Stories of miraculous healing, intervention, God's provision, divine appointments, or of receiving undeserved favor. Carlotta Waldman is an author, Bible college educator, and ordained minister of counseling. Pat Torek is an evangelist, worship leader, and healing prayer minister. Now here's Carlotta Waldman.
Thank you, Dan. We're so happy to have Barbie Breathitt with us tonight. It's just been so amazing how much God has been talking to us about the seer anointing, how He wants to communicate to us in so many different ways. We're surely in the Acts 2:17 anointing where God's just pouring out His Spirit, wanting to communicate with everyone. And people say, you know, why do you say you hear from God every day? Because I do. It's just awesome. And we're having so many more dreams. But Barbie is here to share more about the seer anointing. Once again, we just love to talk about this like every month. And she shares how God shares His love letters through dreams, and they are His symbolic language. So you're going to be able to learn more about how to see your destiny through God's perspective, and she'll explain about different types of dreams and angelic encounters and on and on. Her website is www.myonar.com if you want to be checking that out. And she's also available for free online dream journal or interpretations to share your dreams if you want to send those in to her. So you can learn about the mysterious benefits and the power of sleep tonight. And Barbie, I'll let you finish your introduction there if you'd like to share more about how you got started in this. And I'm also going to say that I'm going to ask Teresa, our co-host, if she will ask a lot of questions tonight, because really she's more versed in dreams than I am. Are you there, Teresa?
I'm here. I'm very excited for Barbie to be talking tonight. Thank you so much, Barbie, for being here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm so excited to be your guest on Crosstalk tonight. You're on one of my Facebook pages. That's how I first got to know you, and I was thinking it'd be great to be a guest and hear those prayers that you utter in your heart come true.
Mm-hmm.
God hears even our smallest whispers, but God trained me through the years in the prophetic ministry and has kind of focused on the miracle realm and on the dream realm. And, you know, people want to, they always ask me, I want to see the angelic, I want to see into the supernatural.
Me too.
And I hear that so often. And miraculously, I guess I was just wired that way, that when I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that night my eyes were opened to see into the realm of the Spirit. And from then on, my eyes have just been opened, sometimes to greater degrees and lesser degrees. But also the five senses that we have, God wants to cause us not only just to see Him, but to feel Him, to taste Him, to know Him in every aspect of the five dimensions that we have in the natural. He wants to bless those with His glory realm and enable us to experience Him. You know, that's what God's about, wanting us to know Him and experience, not
mm-hmm.
just from reading about Him in the Word. That is wonderful. The Word is perfect and it's true. Every word in it is yea and amen unto us, but they're promises unto us. So if I look in the Word and I see anywhere where something supernatural happened to somebody and I have not experienced that before in my life, I begin to say, Father, You're not a respecter of persons. And if
That's
You
right.
translated John into the heavenlies and You translated Paul into the heavenlies, then I want to be translated into the heavenlies. I want to
mm-hmm.
see the glory realms. I want to experience Him in every avenue and aspect that I can.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now you're talking about translated in dreams or going there?
Well, both. A lot of times God will begin things. Our dreams are our training center. So He begins to let us experience things in the dream realm. People say, you know, I want to see angels, and so as I'm interpreting their dreams, I begin to point out that you are seeing angels. Angels are appearing in your dream. You're just not recognizing them. And so as we begin to learn a language that God speaks in, He speaks a spiritual language, which is a mysterious language of symbols, types, shadows, puns, conundrums, enigmas, that type of a language. But when we begin to realize the colors and the combination of those different symbols combined in our dreams, God is revealing himself to us in the night season, and we're having angelic visitations in our dreams. And a lot of times people don't even recognize it. But he takes us from whatever level of understanding we are at, and he reveals himself to us at that level. Once we recognize that he is showing himself to us in those levels, then he increases it from glory to glory. As we're faithful with little, he then gives us much. And he wants to see if we're steward those things. And a lot of times, you know, when he's pouring out dreams on us, people don't even take the time to write those down. And so what that communicates back to the Father is, these aren't valuable. I'm not treasuring those. I'm not stewarding what you're speaking to me in the night season. So those things, he won't speak to you in that way. He'll find another avenue to speak to you than where you will value it. That's why, Clarita, I always encourage people to write their dreams down and to journal. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons we created our dream interpreting website, because on there, everybody can go on, open their own private dream journal, and they can dialogue their dreams there. And then as they get more revelation, they can add it in. You know, I used to do the notebooks by the side of my bed, but I found that I would start another dream before I finished all the revelation on the one that he had given me before. And so it got to be stapling papers, adding papers, tearing it out, putting it in a file, and it wasn't functional. So I went to online journaling, which works out a whole lot better, because then as the Lord reveals things to you, you can just continue adding on, even if it's years later, because a lot of times God will revisit a dream and he'll bring you back to that very dream. So I encourage people, title your dreams just like you name your children. It's something that's been birthed in your spirit. Title it so that you can locate it easily and cherish it, and the Lord will continue to visit in those realms of sleep and in the realms of dream.
I'm sure
I'm
going to
let you guys, if you want to just jump in, otherwise I can ramble on forever, but if you have some questions or any specific things you want to cover during our interview time.
What questions do you have, Teresa?
Well, I would just like to tell her that, I've been trying to, actually, the Lord has been working with me in dreams for a couple of years now, and it hasn't been until recently that I've come across the teaching about titling the dreams or summing it up with some sort of statement that will give a synopsis. And so I haven't really done that too much. My last dream I had, I was just like, well, what in the world would I title that? So I don't know. It's just my dreams are, you talk about an enigma. They are very, very obscure sometimes. But it's a puzzle, and, you know, I love working it. And the Lord just really is neat how he puts puns in there, you know. It's just funny.
He's a great punster. He's a jokester. He loves, he's got a great sense of humor.
He does.
You know, he created me, so I know he's got a great sense of humor, and he loves to laugh, and he mostly laughs at our enemies when they try to defeat us, and he gives us strategic plans to overcome the enemy through our dreams, so that the enemies, there's no way he can outsmart us, because God's wisdom is sealed in dreams, and he reveals knowledge to us every night as we go to sleep. You know, that's what it's, to me, it's very important each night before you go to sleep to pray and have a specific thing that you want the Lord to show you in your dreams. And then as you pour out your heart to him, then he creates dreams to answer the problems that are in your life and give you wisdom and strategy and to point you towards destiny and make any course corrections that you might have made that day. Any mistakes will be resolved, and he can just begin to lead you day by day, because our day begins at night. So God's going to give us a dream at night that's going to plan our next day, our next week, month, and on out into the years, because his plan is for us to prosper and to be blessed and to excel and be successful. So he's already mapped out a wonderful destiny for each one of us, And if we can just read the blueprints, then we're going to be successful and prosper.
Amen.
Hmm. Could I ask you, Barbie, how you got started with this? I know you said when you first got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you started seeing angelic and seeing into the heavenly realms. Did that always include the dreams and understanding the dreams, or were you taught that?
That was something that I had to develop. It didn't always include that. Matter of fact, I started being able to see the dark realm first, the ugly thing of demonic forces on people in the dark realm, because the dark realm is closer to our soul than the spirit realm is. So I was able to see that, and I didn't like it, so I wanted to shut the gift down. And that's what a lot of people who have the gift of discerning of spirits, they start seeing in the dark realm, because it is close to the soul realm, and they see the ugliness of it. And so they're fearful, just like I was. But the Lord told me, he said, well, then just ask me and to see the glory and to see the beauty and to see the light. And that's when my spiritual gift to be able to see into the realm began to switch to see the beauty, the angels, the lights, the orbs, the different things that would manifest, and angels that would appear in buildings and at ministry sites and just off different places. But the dream aspect of it came because I've been on several, I've gone to different schools of the prophet all over, and the dream aspect just came through running it through my prophetic gift, where the Holy Spirit would say, just listen to the dream, and I'll show you an internal vision of what's happening in their dream. And he began to give me symbol by symbol what each symbol meant in that person's dream in that particular context, because your dream symbols are towards each person individually. So I might have a set of symbols that mean something to me, but in another person it might mean something different, as in a dog to me is a loyal friend and somebody who is a companion, but to somebody who is mauled by a dog as a child or an adult, that would be a vicious enemy. So the Holy Spirit begins to lead you into understanding the symbolic messages that he's giving through dreams. So when I'd be on prophetic teams and I was training at different schools, and then later developed my own curriculum and started training people in the prophetic ministry, people would ask me, oh, I had this dream, what does it mean? I said, well, tell me. And so just like David, he said, do not interpretations belong to the Lord. So as they would tell me, I'm asking the Holy Spirit, what does this dream mean?
Amen.
And I wrote a book called Dream Encounters, and Seeing Your Destiny from God's Perspective, and it covers a myriad of different things that will help people to understand their dreams. I tried to take the wealth of knowledge that God has given me on this subject and put it in simple, understandable chapters so people could read that and then be able to begin to interpret their own dreams.
It's a really good book, too. I have to say that I'm about halfway through, and I've kind of skipped over a few things, but I have another set of dream books that I was introduced to a couple of years ago, and those have been very helpful, but yours is different in a lot of respects, is in that you talk about what is a trance and the different states that that you can go into that is actually supported by the Bible, and I really thought that was awesome because not everybody understands that.
Yeah, see, dreams are our gateway into the supernatural, and then from there we can go into visions, we can go into trances, we can go into transportations to other geographic locations, or even translations into the heavenly realms, just like John and Paul did. They were translated into the heavenly realms, and a lot of times the gateway can be going through a dream or in a vision. You can be taken into different dimensions or realms of the spirit. I have a whole chapter that deals with the realms of the spirit in my book, and even soul dreams. You know, there's different dimensions, spirit dreams, soul dreams, body dreams, and dreams that come like nightmares that would come from the enemy of our soul. So there's different aspects of the dream life that we can delve into.
Mm-hmm. Could you give us an example of what a soulless dream would be?
Soulless dreams are usually somebody is fixated on something that they want and desire, and their soul wants it, their mind, their will, their emotions. So they think about it, they talk about it, they're focused on it, and it's not necessarily God's will for them, but it's their will. And a lot of times you'll see this in relationship-type dreams where one person has decided that another person is going to be their husband or wife, and they begin to have dreams about them, and they see the marriage, they see them, all these different things happening, but that person sometimes has never even met the other person. They haven't telephoned them, or they're not dating. You know, there's no connection. It's just something in their soul that's desiring that other person. So they begin to dream about it, and they say that God is showing them, where in reality it's not. It's just their own soul desiring that. You can tell by the different colors that are demonstrated in the dreams. They're soul colors, and then their spirit colors. Your spirit colors are more red, green, and blue, whereas soul colors are your magenta colors, the more purplish tones, the yellows, and those, the cyan colors. So you can tell a lot of times, or they'll even be a muted type color. Christians have very vivid, bright dreams, where people who are non-believers have more muted, dull, or non-color dreams because they have not been enlightened yet with the true spiritual light of the Holy Spirit.
Mm. And how about black and white?
Go ahead.
I was wondering also, too, that you had mentioned black and white dreams, and you had a very interesting comment about that, I thought, in your book.
Well, black and white dreams, you know, a lot of times when people think they don't dream in color, they really do. As they begin to tell me their dream, they'll say, and then I was pulling, I don't dream in color, but yet as it unfolds, and I was pulling a little red wagon with me, I said, well, I thought you don't have color in your dream. Oh, I guess I do. So a lot of times there might be colors, but they're not remembering them or recalling them. But gray dreams, black and white dreams a lot of times can represent spiritual warfare. That can also be something of past memories. So it's kind of faded out, and so it's something that happened a long time ago in the past.
See, I just think that's so awesome how the Lord has given you that insight about the black and white and the gray, because from time to time I have those, And I can testify that you're exactly right on the mark. Whenever I have something like that, it speaks about my past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of times it's just lots of years of experience. I've been doing this about 28 years, so I've interpreted thousands upon thousands of dreams and taught all over the United States and in Europe and different parts of the world, Poland, Ukraine, Africa, you know, just different places where we've been, Norway, Sweden, and going and teaching people how to interpret dreams so that they can understand God's love language to them. And colors is a very big part of understanding your dreams. You know, one of the other things, Carlotta, that we've done is develop dream symbol books. We put a smattering of dream symbols in the book Dream Encounter, Seeing Your Destiny from God's Perspective. But right now, even on our website, we have Volume 1 and Volume 2 that are on sale. And they can buy those two volumes. If they buy the two, I give them my $17 book for free. And so it's a great savings. And you'll find that a lot of the understanding and learning how to interpret dreams is understanding what the symbols represent. Because I've logged and dialogued and categorized symbols for 20-something years. So I have a wealth of resources in the symbols. And I put them together in these beautifully decorated, laminated dream symbol card books, and they can get them at my website. I think it's on thebarbiebreathitt.com. So it's just my name.com, barbiebreathitt.com. And then they can get the dream book there and the symbol book. So the book's kind of like a how-to, and then the symbol cards hold all the keys where they can begin to unfold them. And then if they still don't understand, they can submit their dreams to me on myownr.com. And I interpret them and put them back in their own dream journal so that they can continue adding to it as the Lord begins to speak to them. Or they can compare what they thought the dream meant to what I think the dream means, and that helps them develop their own skill in interpreting dreams as well.
Well, I know you're going to get a lot of opportunities to do that tonight. Let me just remind our listeners that they can call in and ask questions. We'll be taking them in a few minutes, not just yet. But the number is 917-388-4683. That's 917-388-4683. 8-3. Here come the hands as soon as I said that. I am very interested in this whole thing, Barbie. I've really been looking forward to this some time. Let me give you a quick one and see what you say, and we'll compare that, Teresa, what we've seen in other places.
Okay.
I'm just very impressed with you, Barbie. I am definitely believing you're going to give us the insight on this, and thank you, Lord, for helping her. Of course, I'm not going to give the whole context, unless you ask me to, of my life and what's going on, but I dreamed that there were a whole bunch of conference tables and all the people were seated at them, and I was standing up front, and this white horse came and just hopped up with put his front feet on the conference table nearest me, and I was so strong that I could just reach over and quietly pick up his legs and put him back down on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And that was
the whole thing. Is that the end of it?
That's it.
That indicates that God's going to give you great influence and put you in front of a lot of people to train and equip them, and that you got an ability to communicate with people that exceeds what others would, that God's highlighting you as a leader. But it also points out that you are a very discerning person, and that when somebody who tries to push themselves forward or move into a position that they're not called to, and they'll be moving in the flesh, that you will be able to put them back in their place very gently, while still carrying on with what you're called to do, that they're not going to be an interruption, and it's not going to be a grandstand show that they'd like to draw all the attention to themselves and their flesh, but that you will be able to just put them back in their place and continue on in your leadership capacity and keeping everything flowing and going as it should be. You know, kind of like putting everything decently in an order. It's great that it all happens, and it's nice when people think that they want to get touched, but there's a time and a place for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so people who would push themselves forward, then you would be able to put them back where they need to be.
I am so impressed, because all my research came up with just about the same thing, and I even forgot to tell you there is one more thing, and you still came up with it. At the end, I saw this like plaque before my eyes, and it had 6 numbers on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 744,000.
Mhm. Yeah, and it had 6 numbers. 6 is the number of flesh, or the number of man. So, you know, that's how that person was acting. And 777 is the number of Christ. 700. So what was your number? 700 and...
Yeah, it was 744,000, so we were looking at 70, like to the 6th power, you know, that would be excessive.
Yeah, that's a lot of people that God's given you influence over, and that you'll have impact. So that talks about your multiplication and the great increase, multiplication.
And prophetic strength.
Yeah.
Well, it was very encouraging to me, because I've been healed of 24 things, Barbie, and I'm praying for a couple of more healings. And so I thought, and from a childlike perspective, that I'll be strong enough to pick up a horse.
There you go.
So I wanted it to be literal.
Yeah. Well, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So if they're moving in the flesh, you're moving in the spirit, there's going to be great power for you to do that. Nothing's impossible to those who are in Christ.
Amen. Amen. Are you ready for a question?
Sure.
Well, just go ahead. I knew that they would start quickly. Let me see who's in area code 724. Welcome to the program. Who have we here?
Hello?
Yes. Welcome to the program. Who have we here?
This is Krista.
Hi, Krista.
Hi.
Hello, Krista.
I had a dream recently, and I wasn't exactly sure how to even, I guess, say to really find it in a dream book or anything. I have a few. And there was a man in my dream that seemed to be my boyfriend in the dream. And he had a tattoo on his face. And it was very, very like big, and it seemed it covered from cheek to cheek up and down his nose, and it was red. And it seemed like no one else, everyone else seen it, but I could look past it. Mm-hmm. And then I remember just, you know, being with him in the dream, spending time, and everyone else seemed to just be, like, distance themselves from him. And it was because, I guess, of the tattoo. It was, like, just weird to him, but I could see it. And then later in the dream, I seen him again, and it seemed like the tattoo was gone. And I remember in the dream he was able to wash it off, but it was a real tattoo. And it washed off, and there was no tattoo. And then I remember being in a car, in the back seat of a car, and I remember thinking, I want to witness to him. I want to tell him about Jesus. And right before I did, he turned to me and he said, I have to tell you something. And he said, I have a real darkness in my heart. And then that was the end of the dream.
Yeah, I think that dream speaks a lot about you, Krista, and the kind of heart that you have towards people. Somebody who has a tattoo blatantly tattooed across their face, especially red, would draw such attention to him, and it would be like a stigma, or like the other people who treated him as if he was a marked man, or if there was something terribly wrong with him, or they didn't understand him, so they rejected him, whereas you embraced him with the love of Christ and the love that was in your heart towards all humanity. I don't think that you're a judgmental or critical person, but you're a person who looks at people for who they are, and you reach out to the goodness that's within them, but your whole purpose for befriending him was for salvation. You could discern past this mark on his face. You know, it could have been a representative of a blot of sin or blot of anger or whatever the marking would represent. But he was trying to get attention. Anybody with a tattoo their face needed attention. And you gave him the love that he needed. And then your whole focus was to bring him into salvation. And he opened the door because of the love that you had shown him. He called out for the love of Christ that was in you. He looked past you and he saw Jesus. You looked past his sin, his failings, his weaknesses, his disfigurement, and you look past that to his need. And I think that really speaks of an evangelistic call that's on your life, because you will operate out of love and compassion, and you're very mercy motivated. And there's going to be people like him. But once you look past his love, it disappeared, and he was going to be set free from the sins and the things that had scarred him. He was brought into wholeness.
Hmm. Sounds right to me.
Thank you. I had no idea. Oh, thank you.
You're so welcome.
Sounds right to me. I know Kristen. She's a big support to ministry and what God's doing. Hallelujah.
Well, good. Yeah, she's not a judgmental person. She's, you know, takes people at face value.
No pun intended.
No pun intended. Yep, love them for who they are.
Mm-hmm. And it washed off. I didn't know exactly what that meant.
Yeah. Well, God's blood, you know, the red blood of Jesus will cleanse all of us from every guilt and stain, every mark, every tattoo, everything that has marked us permanently is what the enemy tells us. But through Jesus, all those sins are washed away, and it's not a permanent scar or mark anymore. And all things become new. And so that the man that she witnessed to, you know, even in the back seat, it was taking a back seat position. You know, not I'm in the driver's seat, say and do what I say. She humbled herself and was in the back seat and reached out. And God was able to change him.
Amen. So anything anyone out there thinks is permanent, that it's disqualified you, or that people will always see you as you were, because that's what the accuser of the brethren wants. You know, he wants people to always see as you used to be. Know that God has given you, if you're a believer, He's given you eternal life, and that means you not only have a new present and a new future, but you have a new past. The old you is dead, 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 and you have a new life. You're a partaker of a new nature.
Amen to that. That's so true.
Amen.
We're not disqualified. The only one that can disqualify us is ourselves. If we put ourselves and sit ourselves out, God never disqualifies us. Every test we go through is for the purpose of promotion and increase.
Mm-hmm. That's what I tell people. He's always giving you pop quizzes, so instead of being alarmed, just say, oh, gotcha. This is another pop quiz.
He wants to advance me and promote me.
There's always more possibilities if we'll humble ourselves. He's willing to promote us. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you. Let's take one more question, and then we want to just let you dive into more teaching. Boy, you can give us so many impartations in a short period of time. Teresa, do we have another caller?
Yes, we do, and that's Apostle Diane Knight on line 5.
Oh, no, Diane. Yeah. Welcome to the program, Apostle
Hello.
Diane Knight from Louisiana.
From Texas.
Texas, excuse me.
Yes, from Texas.
That's
okay.
Country.
Yes, it is. It is. Hi, Barbie.
How are you, Diane?
I'm blessed. Carlotta is so precious, isn't she?
She's wonderful. She's a new friend for me.
Yes, God's really using her to touch so many people's lives, and I'm grateful to have the opportunity to share and impart, you know, what the Lord has given to me.
See how gracious she is. See how gracious she is? I don't know why I said Louisiana.
That's what people are
just moving it right over.
They're all like that. That's why they were God's country.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's right. But thank you so much. I met you last year at Apostle Marjorie's conference, Glory Explosion.
Yes, that was a wonderful conference.
Yes, it was.
It was nice to meet you there, too.
Yes, it really was. But I'm not going to take much time, and I just wanted to ask real quickly. Well, first I want to say it's interesting that you shared how, you know, the Lord really started teaching and showing you through the dark side as well. And that's what he did with me, too. And I thought, gosh, what is wrong with me? I see so many demons and, you know, just learn so much. But I did see angels, too, and have seen a lot. But that was a blessing to hear you say that, because I've really never heard anyone share it quite like that. So that kind of comforted, you know, that was a comforting thing to hear. But I wanted to share a dream I've had twice and several months apart. But I was flowing down this river, and the dream started out, and it was like black and white. It was real interesting, or to me it was. And I was flowing down this river, and the trees that were, you know, on the sides, they were dead. I mean, everything was just dead. There was just like no life at all. And as I began to flow down the river began to pick up. The current began to pick up a little bit. And as I went around, I just remember going around a curve, and then the current was really quick. I mean, it got faster and faster, and then all of a sudden, as I was looking over at the trees became people, and it's like I brought people into the river, and everything began to change, and it was in color, and it kind of made me think about a movie I saw one time, but anyway,
Deliverance?
You know what? I don't even remember. It's been years. I mean, it's been a long time since I even saw the movie, but it just kind of reminded me of everything being black and white, and then it was in color. But everything just came into color. And then even though I was bringing people into this river with me, as I was just flowing down, it's like it's on my back, like Elijah just, you know, going down the river, but there were trees still on the land, and they became very fruitful. It's like as I flowed down this river, I watched everything just change from being black and white to being just colorful and just, you know, beautiful grass. And like I said, the trees were in full bloom, and it was just really beautiful, the end of it.
It reminds me of the, you know, Revelation where it talks about the river of life that flows out, even out past the Dead Sea, and everything that it touched became born again and was living again, you know, because the trees do a lot of times represent leaders, and rivers represent the move of God. So you were in the move of God, and you were going down the river at a steady pace, but then that pace quickened as you began to see the need of all the dead and dying and dry and barrenness on the riverside. Then you realized, I've got to do something. I need to pull these people into the move of God so that they can be refreshed. And you know, then you see the color starting to come in as the river of life, which is Jesus. You know, so you were able to get the people into the water, into the Word, into the Spirit, into the move of God. And once they touch that living water, it's just like Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you knew who I was and the gift that I have to give you, which is the living eternal water, then you would never thirst again. It wasn't a physical water. It was a spiritual water that would quench her thirst. And once she drank of that water, that woman who was despised and rejected went back to her city and evangelized that whole city from one drink of spiritual water. And so it turned her from a dead person, a dead tree, into somebody who is vibrant, alive for the kingdom, and able to move a whole city towards the kingdom. And, you know, she became an evangelist and began to touch souls. So I believe that that's the call that God placed on you, to find those leaders who are dry, who are weary, who are just standing by and watching, and all they need is that little encouragement, that nudge. Go ahead, jump in the water. Just put your toe in. Just take one drink. Just try it. You know, don't give up hope, because hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of leaders that have been through a lot of things and haven't found the people to support their hands and to help lift them up, and they've worked and they've labored, but they haven't seen the fruit of it. These are going to be the leaders who you're going to impact, and they're going to become very, very fruitful. They'll be greened up. They'll be springing forth. They'll be fruitful. They'll multiply, and they're going to be able to touch people. But all in all, you're the one that's going to get the reward for it, because you're the one who's going to be the avenue that brought them into Christ. So you'll get to share in the great rewards that these leaders who are thirsting for the move of God are going to be able to experience. And the move of God is here. All they have to do is step into it. It's already here. It's not all for some future time. It's now. Just step into the river and drink deeply of his presence.
Yes. Ooh, I can't hardly talk. Ooh. I'm having all kinds of emotions right now and feelings, and just, you know, because it's just deep, deep in my spirit. Thank you.
See, that's how God speaks. He'll speak to your spirit. He gave you the dream. Now he's giving you the interpretation. He's written it on your heart. So that'll always be part of who you are.
Okay. I'm speechless. I'm usually not.
What if I've dreamed over and over that I can breathe underwater?
You can. There's no limitations in the spirit realm. What that demonstrates is that you have an ability to absorb the spirit and the spirit of the word, because water represents Holy Spirit and also represents the word. And we're to breathe deeply of it. So you can breathe and under the water. And you can fly. You know, you can fly to the highest heights, and you can dive down to the deepest depths. There are no limitations in the realm of the spirit. And that's why God speaks to us through dreams, because it's a spiritual language. Mm-hmm. And it removes all the limitations and begins to move us into the miracle realm of the impossible, where if we can see it, we can be it. It takes away any type of limitations of you can't. It says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So you can swim, you can fly, you can breathe underwater, you can walk through walls, you can leap over buildings. You become a Superman or woman in your dreams. And God enables you to see yourself from his perspective. you know, there's too many things in the world that tell you you can't, you're not qualified, mm-hmm. you're not able, you shouldn't, don't, quit, stop, don't. And God says you can, you're more than able, you're more than a conqueror. And he begins not only to say those words, but he's a doer of the word. He takes the word and he puts it into a dream, and he shows you a motion picture, and he gives you a plan and a strategy that all you have to do is follow what you see him telling you to do in your dreams, and you become an instant success. The old passes away, a new plan is laid, and every time we step onto his destiny plan, he takes us higher and further than we could have ever done in our own. The Bible tells us that his ways are much higher than our ways. And so to enable us to comprehend those ways, he shows them to us when we're sleeping. Because a lot of us would argue with him, tell him all the reasons why we can't, because that's how we've been programmed, and that's what people have said to us. But he says, you can, and you're well able. And so he shows us, and we come into agreement with him, with our spirit as we're sleeping. Our soul, he put everything within us when we were created back at the beginning of the world, when he hung the planets on nothing. We were there in Christ, and he has put spiritual understanding in us. All we have to do is get the sin layer off so that we can let our spirit man begin to rule over our soul, and revelation knowledge of who we are, what we're called to do, and his eternal plan will begin to manifest in each one of our lives.
Amen. That's the truth. That is so true.
Apostle Diane, God told me once that Spider-Man had nothing on us, that we can do far more than Spider-Man.
That's
and
true.
So I just impart that to you right now, that you have more powers than Spider-Man.
Amen. Amen. I believe that. I've been taken many, many times in the spirit. And Barbie, I shared this on Sid Ross, that I used to tell people when I was very, very young, around 6, 7 years old, that I tell people that I could fly from the top of our house out to the curb of the street. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, I was labeled as this crazy, silly little child that thinks she can fly, because I grew up in a denominational church, but I was baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. And I'd be out laying in the yard looking up at the clouds. And all of a sudden, you know, how you see things in the clouds, and then all of a sudden, I would be looking down at my body. Well, you know, you just don't learn that in a denominational church, or at least not in mine. So I did not know how to convey that. But the Lord would take me, you know, up in the spirit, and you know, it would just be such a beautiful, beautiful encounter with him. I would always be so comforted and so peaceful, because I went through a lot of trauma as a child. And the Lord just really, because I just sought after him, you know, all these things were opened up to me. And I always share with people, I never asked for all of these, you know, the encounters and the experiences that I have and that I've had. It's just that I always sought after him. And then he just, you know, because of that longing and desire for him, he took me up into the realm of the spirit. You know, he translated me. I've been here and been over in England in a conference, or here and over in China underground with a family that the soldiers were looking for. I mean, literally, it's, you know, how do you explain all of that? But those things
well,
I never
it's all in the
did.
Scripture. It's all in the Bible. So anything that we see in the Bible, we can do and have. And you said the key. You sought him with your whole heart. He tells us in the Word,
yeah.
If you'll seek me with your whole heart, I will be found of you. And so he tells us to focus on heavenly things. You know, that's where a lot of times people get stuck in a low level or into depression or hopelessness or despair, because they begin focusing on the problem and focusing on the enemy's plan. And all that does is begin to magnify it. But God's created each one of us with the ability to magnify him. So as we begin to magnify him and glorify him and lift him up, he inhabits that praise, and he begins to grow bigger, and we empower him then to take over the situation and have his way, and we're no longer limited to the natural realm, but we have the access to the angels, we have the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son. And Jesus said that if you love me, and you follow my commandments, myself, Jesus, and the Father will come and set up their residence
yes.
within us. So we can have the Trinity residing in us. And when you've got God in you, there's nothing
mm-hmm.
that can't happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you so much. It's just so refreshing to hear someone sharing the things that you're sharing, Barbie, because I just haven't been around any though, you know, even though I've been baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire for 50 years. Oh, I can't believe that. Anyway, mm-hmm. and just, you know, have had that relationship with the Lord and didn't really get into the charismatic scene until, you know, the 80s. And so I just never knew that all of that was something, you know, as the Pentecostal Charismatic Church sees it and as they desire and long for it, you know, his glory and the fragrance and just all of those things, they just manifest it because it is, like you said, it's part of our inheritance. It's a part of heaven that we should be experiencing, and it's not the experience or the encounter. It is knowing him more in and
yes.
through that experience and encounter.
He's what it's all about, you know, so
yes.
that you begin to know him. He said, those that know their God shall do great exploits in the book of Daniel. So as we begin to understand him and know him, in the Bible, in the New Testament, says every time that we turn our face towards the Lord, a veil is removed. And so I make a conscious effort each day to turn my face towards him multiple times and say, Lord, remove another veil. Remove
mm-hmm.
another veil. My face
That's
is
good.
Focused towards you. And you said if I would turn my face towards you, that you would remove veils from my face. And so as he does that over and over again, we begin to see him in new lights and so that we can begin to understand him in a better way.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
I'm so excited. Oh, my goodness. What a blessing this is. And thank you again so much for sharing that. And that's just so dear. Leaders have always been so dear to my heart. And the Lord's always had me around them, you know, as the right arm, left leg, and left foot and for years, and then he brought me into that place of leadership, but I've never gotten away from having a heart for leaders. And, you know, he allowed me to be a pastor for a season. I mean, I still pastor with my husband, but not as much anymore. I've kind of moved out of the pastoral role, and he said that heart and compassion is so much greater now after pastoring for 12 years than what it was before. There was great compassion there to minister to leaders. And so I'm looking forward to my journey and to see what God will do and who he will bring, you know, before me and send me to help as pastors and leaders in ministries. So that's a great confirmation, and just said he did write it on the tablet of my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much.
You're so very welcome. Glad that you called
in. It's hard
in.
To hang up. Thank you.
Big
I love
hugs.
You,
big hugs to you.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
big hug for you. Teresa, too. And thank you all so much.
Thank you. You stay
okay.
on the line and listen, okay? You may have
I
another
will.
Question.
Okay, I will.
Do we have someone else on the line?
We do. That's Reggie on line 4.
Okay. All right. Reggie, do you have a question for us? Oh, wait a minute. See if I hit the wrong button or something. My fault. Reggie, do you have a question for us?
Yes, actually I do. How are you both tonight?
Very good, Reggie.
Good. I just have a simple dream that I'd like to get interpreted, if I may.
Why don't you choose one and then put the others on Onar?
Right. I just have actually just one tonight. This dream is actually very simple. I had about a couple weekends ago. And there's a gentleman that has a prayer line that I come on and I pray with him along with some other believers. And this particular night, I had a dream about him. And I was standing in front of my television in the living room, and I was looking at the gentleman that's the coordinator for the prayer call. I was looking at him, and he was walking near this playground, and I saw a Caucasian gentleman coming towards him. And as I saw the gentleman coming towards him, let me back up. I was standing in my living room. I'm going to start over. I was standing in my living room, and I was seeing the guy that conducts the prayer call on my television. It was like I was watching TV. And I was seeing this Caucasian gentleman come towards my friend, and he had like almost like a trench coat on, and he was concealing a gun. And I saw the gun, and I was trying to get to my friend in enough time to send him a text message to tell him, like, to run, this guy is out to get you. But I couldn't type fast enough, and so before I know it, I saw the guy shoot the man, and that was the end of the dream.
Mm. Well, God, a lot of times guns represent words that are being spoken from afar off, and so they've got great power, and they can travel a great distance. But he was coming towards the man, which means that he's been talking about your friend for a long time, but he is now getting ready to come to a face-to-face confrontation with a lot of abusive words. You know, your friend was at a playground, which means that he could be walking on the fringe right now. Rather than being serious in his walk with the Lord, he's in a place where children are. And children, the Bible tells us to put away childish things and to be mature in our gifting and our calling. And so this man has stepped away from his giftings and callings, and he's picking up the childish things, and in that atmosphere, he's going to be confronted with somebody who is not happy with him and is going to release some hurtful words. And so I would encourage you to pray for your friend that he needs to turn back to his first love and come closer to the Lord and put away the childish things and get back into the call that's on his life, and then this thing need not even ever happen. You know, when we walk close to the Lord, the enemy doesn't have the ability, or he can't loose weapons on us that will harm us. The Bible says that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, but that's if we're walking close to the Lord, and so he can release his angels to protect. So prayer is a wonderful vehicle. I would say you need to pray for your friend, that this is a warning dream for him to pick up his weapons, a warfare, return to his first love, and to walk close to the Lord and put away those childish things before he gets hurt.
That bears witness with me. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. God bless.
You're so very welcome, Reggie. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Well, tell us more about the types of dreams and all. We've already hit several, Barbie. What else do you have?
You know, I find that a lot of times people have their don't want to talk about, or they're afraid to talk about dreams that they have. I call them like visitation dreams, where see their loved ones in a dream, and they have people that have been deceased come and visit them in their dreams a lot of times to bring a closure to the things that knew that person, whether it be a father, a mother, a loved one, a child. But a lot of times God will allow them to come and visit in order to bring closure to the grief process. And God is the one that holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And so he is able to release the image of a loved one to come back and to say, you know, don't grieve for me anymore. I'm in heaven. Go on with your life. Because a lot of times if our loved ones were taken from us prematurely or suddenly they were snatched from us, we weren't able to say goodbye to them. And so visitation dreams come where you will see that person in your dream and you're able to tell them all the things that you wanted to tell them. You know, I'm sorry I didn't say I loved you enough. I'm sorry. You know, and so it relieves your soul of all the guilt or shame that you have. And they're able, you see them in their glorified bodies, and they're happy, and they're able to say, no, you need to let me go. I'm happy. I'm with the Lord. And so there's those type of dreams that people have. And there are also their shame and guilt dreams, you know, where we've made the wrong choices in our life and guilt comes and we think that we shouldn't be able to do, or we should have been able to do more, achieve more. And so we're ashamed, and those guilt and shame dreams come when people are devalued or not validated enough, or that we're made fun of by friends or family members. And so when those things happen, a lot of times you'll have a dream that kind of helps flush that out of your system.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you said, Kalata, that you've been healed of many infirmities, and they're healing dreams that come where our bodies can communicate through us to us through the dream, and they signal us when they're wrong chemical alignments or different things that we need in our body. And I remember being in Scotland and teaching dreams, and a lady was in such pain that she was laying on the floor during the whole meeting. She wanted to be there so bad, but she could, too much pain to sit in a chair, so she would lay on the floor. But in her dreams, she saw herself running up and down stairs. So
mm-hmm.
her
mm-hmm.
body was beginning to heal itself through the dreams that she had and the mental images that she had. And so dreams can be a wonderful way to bring physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing to us. And, you know, vehicle dreams. You know, we have lots of vehicle dreams where, and vehicles will tell you kind of where you are spiritually. You said you flew, which was a prophetic dream, means indicates prophetic gifting. People who can fly in their dreams are prophetically gifted. And they're wired for the dream realm very easily, where they can operate in word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophesy, those type of gifts they were born with. The seer abilities can be developed in that. But flying dreams, you can even feel the rush of the wind and the land, see the landscape below you, and it's an exhilarating feeling of excitement and buoyancy when these type of dreams happen. And God's given revelatory gifts to those type of people who are able to fly. But the dreams that we don't like are the fear dreams or the nightmare dreams, and those are the ones that a lot of times, if we have not paid attention to our dreams, sometimes we'll experience a nightmare, because that gets our attention in a very vivid way, so that we will begin to focus on that nightmare and seek out the answer when we had not thought it out before. Because we don't want that night terror coming back. And so nightmares sometimes speak very loudly, but they have a great message that they're bringing to us as well. And fear dreams, anything that we fear is not from God. He did not give us the spirit of fear. So a lot of times a fear dream will come to let us know some area in our life that we need to submit to God, so that we can have his power to overcome that fear. But if we don't conquer that fear, it'll continue to come in our dreams, and it'll continue to chase us until we stand up to it, turn around, face it, and fight it with the Word of God and through prayer. And you can do that in your dreams. Otherwise, that monster, that boogeyman, that jabberwocky continues to chase you. It's just like, this is the year of the dream and the seer, and this is the year that Alice in Wonderland came out, and that's a great example of Alice going into a dream and saying, you can't hurt me, you're only a dream. You know, this is, nothing can happen to me. But they kept saying, we need you to fight the Jabberwocky. And she says, no, I can't, I'm not qualified. But by the end of the movie, she'd gone through the dream after dream after dream, and she began to get the courage, and you see her then in the armor. She steps into that calling and position that God called her to, and she slays the Jabberwocky. And I think that's a lot of us. There's things in our life that we've run from, and God is saying, you don't need to run from them anymore. In my blood, in my name, through my word, just pick up your weapons of warfare. Just face them in your dream. Once you conquer it in the dream, then you can conquer it in real life time as well.
Hallelujah. I wanted to bring clarity, because we have so many people that listen to this program from other persuasions. When you were talking about visitation dreams and loved ones who've passed on coming back to tie up loose ends or reassure you or whatever, now this is not the same as necromancy, right? Where you're trying
No, that's
to...
contacting the dead. That's
right.
Strictly forbidden. You're not. That's something that doesn't. You're not allowed to go to seances or to those type of things where a witch would conjure up somebody. And that's not even your loved one. That's a familiar spirit that she would be conjuring up, because the devil doesn't have access to our loved ones. Jesus holds the key. But there's a great cloud of witnesses that are in heaven. And once we die, as Christians, we pass from this life into eternal life. We don't die. So we're not dead. My death is swallowed up in Christ's victory. He took death, hell, and the grave, and he has the keys and has overcome that. So as a believer, I have eternal life. I come from this natural life into a heavenly life. When I cross into heaven, I now am part of the great cloud of witnesses, just like we saw Elijah and Moses, part of the great cloud of witnesses there in heaven. But yet they came back in the transfiguration, and Jesus sees them on the mount. He talks to them on the mount, and they bring heavenly counsel and wisdom from a heavenly realm into a vision realm with Jesus and his disciples there on the mount of transfiguration. So God the Father sent him. You hear the audible voice of God there in that passage as well, where God speaks to his son Jesus and tells him how pleased he is, and that you know, he gives him that revelation and understanding there. And then Jesus immediately comes down off the mount of transfiguration where the heavenly cloud of witnesses were, and goes down and heals the little boy of epilepsy. So there's a lot of dynamics in the realm of the spirit that are written very clearly in Scripture, but we haven't really delved into them because we haven't studied those secrets and mysteries out. But you're right, you don't go to a seance or any of those things, just like Jonathan Edwards with crossing over. That was occultic practices, and they were operating out of familiar spirits, and that's out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's why Jesus didn't want people partaking of that tree. We're out of the tree of life, which is a tree of the spirit. There were two trees in the garden, and the psychics and the people of the occult realm operate out of a soul realm, which is mind, will, and emotion, and they can read people's body language, and they get all kind of insight, but they also deal with the demonic realm of familiar spirits that peep and mutter, and God has strictly forbidden any contact with that realm, but yet they delve into it. It's like the Witch of Endor. You know, she was carrying out seances for the king, and God forbids that type of interaction in the occult realm.
We don't need it, because when we have Jesus and the Holy Spirit and Father God, we have everything.
We do, and he's so much more powerful. You know, the Holy Spirit knows all. The occultic realm only has knowledge. They have facts that they can know. They're very, very limited, whereas Holy Spirit is not limited in any way, shape, or form. And he's all-knowing, all-powerful. So why mess with small spirits that peep and mutter and don't know anything but facts that they can get from other information around, when you can be tapped into the Holy Spirit who knows all things from the beginning to the very end?
That's an awesome point.
I know God shows Teresa a lot of strategies, too, in her dream.
That's a great way to where to find them, is strategies in dreams.
Well, I've been on a quest for a number of years now. The Lord wanted to do a lot of healing in my soul, and one of the good ways that he talks to me is through dreams. And like I mentioned before, I have a lot of things that are very obscure, but, you know, once you start delving into it and asking the Lord, he'll make it plain to me. And I have had dreams before, though, that are sort of like sealed up until a certain event or a certain time, because it doesn't make any sense until a little bit later, and then those things that will become clear to me, what he was telling me.
Well, what he does is he takes you through the process. So he'll show you something, and then when he has developed you, your character, your knowledge, all the different things that you need to do in order to walk those things out, then he'll unseal that dream and he'll bring it forth. Because he might have showed you those mysteries when you were at maybe A, B, or C, and they can't manifest till you get to X, Y, Z. So he begins to take you through that process. You know, in Job 33, it says, "For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men while slumbering on their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instructions. In order to turn man from their deeds and to conceal pride from him, he keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. So a lot of times, Therese, what's happening to you is you're getting a sealed dream, and you're not even probably able to remember all the different aspects of it until you walk into the fullness of it or the maturity of it, or you have been prepared to walk that out, and then he unseals it and you walk through this dream. I call those sealed dreams. The world would call those deja vu experiences because you have lived it before. You have been there, you have seen it, you have felt it, but it was sealed up within you. So when that dream that you saw and you experienced was sealed in you, and then all of a sudden at one day at the fullness of time it is unsealed and you walk into that very situation on those circumstances that you saw maybe 10 years ago, 5 years ago, a year ago, it's unsealed. You think, wow, I've been here, I've done this, I've experienced this, I have lived the situation, but it's just the fullness of a sealed dream being unsealed, and we see that in passage of Job 33, 14 through 18. So a lot of people experience those sealed dreams, and but God is gracious. If he were to let you walk in the revelation and the strategies and all that he has shown you before you were prepared, then you wouldn't be able to handle it or stand up under it. So his graciousness seals them up into us till he can take us through the process. Or the other lady that called in, I think Diana, said it was the journey. So we're all on a journey. We're all in a process of God developing us to handle the dreams and the strategies and the power. So he's perfecting us. He's making the man or the woman before he releases us into the ministry. And we're all called to ministry.
Amen. Yeah, amen to that too. Wow. Amen. Do you want to talk about soul scripting?
Sure. Yeah, we can talk about soul scripting. I think that would be great. I think, you know, there's, well, God has placed within each one of us a divine plan that he has for us to walk into our destiny, and our soul knows that plan. And so through our life, God is able to take us through that step by step until we're able to see it unfold day by day. And our soul, you know, everyone is made up of a mind, will, and our emotion. That's what develops our soul. And we're made in his image, the triune Godhead. So we want relationships that bring us joy and comfort, and we desire careers and gifts and talents that are going to keep us from boredom. And so as we continue to seek God, he's able to add to us day by day. And there's a spiritual and supernatural mark on us from God. Because we are created in his image, we carry his DNA. And the light that God places within us at our birth is enough light to draw all mankind back to himself. But sometimes people choose to walk in darkness rather than following the light that God has placed us in each person to bring them back to God. So soul scripting is, it allows God to call us, and so that we can begin to comprehend God's ways and his thoughts for us by understanding his messages to us and the individual purposes that he's put within each one of our lives so that we can begin to discover them. And, you know, I think a lot of times we're have to choose which road we're going to take, and the higher road is usually always the harder road, but the our soul knows that that's the right road to take, even though it's going to cost us more. And it's the picking up our cross daily and following him. So our soul knows that we should follow him, we should make the high choices so that we can be able to fulfill a specific destiny that we're each created to fulfill. You know, because the gifts and callings that God places upon us are irrevocable. So he's placed a script within each one of us, and if we'll follow that road or that scripting that's within us, we're going to reach destiny and we're going to be successful. And by choosing the higher spiritual roads, when we decide to go and following Jesus and the Holy Spirit's leading, he will enable us to make the right decisions if we'll ask. And John, in the book of John, it tells us that up to this point you have asked me nothing. And that's one thing I thought, well, Lord, I've been asking you all the time. But if we think about everything we've asked the Lord to this point, it says nothing to him. He's wanting us to ask largely of him so that we can enter into the greater works. And I believe that soul scripting is one of the ways that he has designed to bring us into the greater works in our lives so that we can begin to see what he wants us to be, allow him to change our soul as we yield it to him. being transformed into his image from glory to glory and moving up into a higher realm with him. You know, the Lord's already gone out before us to destroy our enemies, so all we have to do is follow after him. And he's our great defender and our champion and our warrior. So the Lord, you know, opens our doors that no man can shut. And then once he's opened those doors, even though there are adversaries there, he's already opened it. He's done the work. We just follow him through, and we find that God is able to establish us in a new area or a new arena. And a lot of times our dreams will begin to show us glimpses of things, of the changes that God wants to make in our lives, so that we're not fearful or so we don't stay in a stagnant state, but that we're willing to make the changes or take something new. When a lot of times we would rather stay in a comfort zone, God encourages us to go ahead and try something new because he knows the outcome of it's going to be able to stretch us and to cause us to be a person of great faith. You know, we do it through the promises of God in our life, so that we can participate in his divine nature. And so the promises of God are to each one of us, and our, a lot of times our dreams will focus on a promise, and it will remind us and recall things back to us of areas of our life that we've been trusting God for, and he's saying, now is the time. So we, just like the sons of Issachar knew the timing of the Lord, and so they were able to follow their dreams, they were able to follow the word, they were able to walk in the timing and discern the seasons of where we are. And I think that's where a lot of people, if they're not able to discern where they are and don't know where they're going, then they get into confusion. And so they need to ask the Lord, I know where I've been because that's the past. Show me where I am now in the present, and then project out and let me see where you're taking me so that I can begin to make those plans and changes in my life. You know, the Lord says that his word is a lamp unto our path. And so he will shine that light on our path so that we can follow after him. And, you know, the Spirit's the one that enables us to have intimate relationships with God, who is the Spirit. The Bible teaches that our spirit comes alive when it's inhabited by the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation and when we accept Jesus. So his Spirit's dwelling in us, and it's transforming our soul into salvation day by day by day. We're being transformed into his image because we belong to him. Our lives are no longer our own, but they've been bought with a price, and therefore we're born again believers, and he has the authority then to give us the wisdom that we need and the knowledge that we need and begin to take us along the path that he's called for us.
I think that's an awesome point, Barbie, that you had made about asking the Lord to show you where you are and then ask him to show you where he wants you to go, because that's not something that I had really even thought about asking a dream for, but that is one place where you could get a tremendous amount of hope.
Yes. It helps to pinpoint, you know, how far you've gone. So it's going to encourage you, because if you think about it, we all were gross sinners before we got saved, and we lived in this marsh of sin and retrograde people. But once we were saved, God took us out from under that miry clay and stuck us on the rock to stay. And so God knows where we came from and where we are right now in the process. He's cleaned us up. He's given us gifts, he's perfected us, he's teaching and training us, but he also has a goal of where he wants to get us. And a lot of times he'll give us a calling dream when we're first born again, that calls us, and he shows us these marvelous, wonderful things that he has for us to do, but we hardly even know any of his word at that point. And we don't, you know, we're overwhelmed with the goodness of the Lord because he's showing us such great things and plans that he has. And so in that process, he can show us where we are and how far we've come, but yet he shows us how much further we have to go. And so we can continue pressing on like Paul did. He says, I press on towards the mark of the high call of God on my life. And he says, I don't feel like I've already arrived. There's still so much for me to do. So we never arrive. but we are always pressing on and being encouraged to the Lord, take the next step. Let me give you another measure of faith. Let me begin to increase you. And as we do, we take other people with us. We begin to help them on their journeys with the wisdom that we've gained through dreams that we've interpreted or visitations that have happened in our lives or sermons that we've listened to or teachings and things that we have gleaned along the way becomes a wealth of knowledge for us to begin to impart and to disciple others, because the whole purpose of salvation is to be saved and to be born again. But yet then he said, go into all the world and make disciples. God wants more children. He wants more believers. He wants more disciples. And so we disciple one who disciples another who disciples another. And eventually we change the world, because we become a world changer one person at a time. And we are able to help somebody else make the decision for eternal life and be delivered out of death.
Hmm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes God shows me things to pray for other people, too. My husband's really good about praying about territorial and geographical and political things. But one night I had a dream that we were at Obama's house, and it wasn't the White House. It was just a roomy house with just sheetrock walls, you know. But he was cooking up something for us. And it was on a big, in a big kitchen on an island oven, but he had glass around it, kind of like a nurse's station would have glass around it, and that was causing the heat to stay on him. He had big, big drops of sweat on his whole face. And we were looking at the walls, and there were three pictures that were nailed to the wall in the corners of the frame, and they were overlapping each other, and they were crooked. But you couldn't straighten them because they were nailed down. But the encouraging part was, as we walked out the back door, there was a river behind the house, about 90 feet from the house, and Apostle Jane Hammond was standing there between Obama's house and the river.
I know Jane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the number 90 is the number of righteousness of God in a devout man. I believe what you saw is what's happening right now in the United States, that Obama is indeed trying to cook up something in his health care plan. You said that the looked like a nurse's station, and he's the one near the stove. He's cooking it up. He's got a plan, but everything is not aligning the way it should. The pictures are skewed. The vision that he had is off. It's not lined up. It's not plumb line, and there's nothing he can do to fix it. He's under a lot of pressure and under a lot of stress and strain right now. And it's like, you know, if you can't stand the heat in the kitchen, you need to get out. And so there's a lot of, you know, uproar in the United States now because of this health plan being instituted. We're forcing people to have to buy insurance if they don't want insurance. It's going to hurt a lot of the little man, and capping doctors' salaries, the whole thing of trying to force socialism on a free nation, democracy. And so what happens is you begin to see all the turmoil that's there. So there's a calling there to begin to pray for Obama, that he will begin to see the true light and he'll come into wisdom. You know, we have to pray for our leaders that they will receive revelation knowledge and they'll true wisdom from God, and that he'll be surrounded by godly counselors and not be put into these heated situations and circumstances that are going to cause America to suffer. And then you are taken outside, and 90 feet, 90 is the number of righteousness of God in a devout man. I believe Obama, you know, is a person who has a heart to try to help, but he's just been misguided. And so the church needs to get behind him and pray that he'll come into the understanding of God's wisdom, and that God will invade his dreams and begin to give him wisdom. And
Amen.
How to make the changes. Change is good, but not change for change's sake. Change, that's a positive change that brings help and brings health to people, but not a change that is going to cause people to, you know, be limited and to bankrupt the small businessman and women. But Jane Hammond's a prophetess, so she would have the word of the Lord coming. And so you exited out the back, which is something usually indicating something of the past. And so there's some maybe past things that Jane has been prophesying in and that will now begin to come to light, that they've been praying and interceding for this situation. And so the word of the Lord needs to come to the president and his cabinet so that they can begin to have God's wisdom to solve these things and not move out of the Marxist or socialism or the different influences that are trying to maneuver now in the United States.
And he's just 90 feet from a move of God.
Yep.
I'm really believing that.
If the church can pray enough for him, pull him into the move of God, he's very charismatic, he's very dynamic, people like him, he's very personable. If he were able to put all of that into a born-again experience mm-hmm. of following God with all that passion that he has, he could begin to mobilize things and turn things around and begin to see great changes that would be God changes. And, you know, because he believes in his heart that socialism is the way to go. So if he were to believe that God's kingdom is the way, I'm sure that he would be just as zealous for God's kingdom as he is for socialism.
Amen. If God can make a Saul into a Paul, he can change anybody.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, what's next, Barbie?
Well, we could talk about numbers and dreams.
Okay.
And, you know, we talked about color a little bit, but a lot of times numbers will show up in dreams. And the first place that I go to look for the understanding of numbers is to the scripture. And it's interesting, a man came one time and told me his dream that he had a bunch of numbers in his dream, and he wrote them down, and it ended up being a phone number. And so he had it on his notepad at home, and he memorized the number. And that morning he got up and he went to have coffee at a coffee shop, and in walks this very pretty woman who sits down at the bar and orders some coffee. And he kind of moved his chair over next to her and asked if he could talk with her, and they began to chat, and they hit it off. And then at the end of the conversation, he asked her for her phone number. Well, she took the napkin and she jotted down the number that he had received the night before in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And the man was just stunned because he looked at her number and he remembered the number they'd written on his bedstand, and they matched exactly. And so he took it as a sign from the Lord that, you know, this was a very special encounter with this woman, and it was orchestrated by God. And he asked her out on a date, and they began to date, then they got engaged, and then they got married. And it was amazing because he came to a meeting and goes, "What do you think that means?" And I said, "Well, I think that's the handwriting on the wall." I said, "You know, God's laid it out before you. He has sent a divine connection and gave you the dream before you'd even met the person of her phone number. I mean, that's very unusual." So God has the ability to give us very specific things. But what I find a lot of times is that people wake up at certain times in the night, and they'll look at their clock, and the time on their clock will coordinate with scriptures that will help mm-hmm. unlock the dream. Mm-hmm. I created a card that's called the Waking Words of Ancient Wisdom that you can get on BarbieBreathitt.com, and you can also get it at MyOwnR.com. All of our dream symbol cards, you can buy them individually, or you can buy them collectively in two spiral-bound sets. And I have a healing card. I didn't mention that. But we've got tons of material that help people with the keys to understand their dreams and visions. But the Waking Words of Ancient Wisdom list the chapter verse combinations from Genesis to Revelation. So if you wake up at a specific time, you can go to the Waking Words of Ancient Wisdom card and look up which chapters and which books have that chapter and verse combination, so that it saves you a whole lot of time. For instance, flipping through the whole Bible, you can go to those strategic chapters and those strategic books and look up those scriptures and read it and see if it matches with what's going on in your dream. There was a man who told me his dream of waking up and at 6:11 in the morning. And in his dream, he was in a prison cell, and there were angels there that commanded him to speak to the prison doors and command them to come open. Well, he did. after a lot of arguing of, I don't have enough power to do that, and what if they don't open, and how we do. And so he finally agreed and did what the angel told him to do, and to his amazement, the doors opened. Then he's in another prison cell, and this time he's there with other people who are chained, prison doors shut, and have boulders on their back. And the angel said, now, command the chains to come off, command the rocks to come off, and command those prison doors to open. And he does, and the boulders come off, chains break, and the doors come open, and the prisoners are set free. And so he wakes up at 6:11 in the morning. And so as he was telling me the dream, I'm going to Isaiah 61, verses 1, and which says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, those that are in the prisons, and the opening of prisons to those who are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So here he's having a dream of people in prison, bound with chains and boulders, burying them. And God is saying, I want you to speak liberty to captives and set people free and break chains off of people and take them through healing and deliverance. And so the very time that he awoke was the time that the angels were standing there waking him so that he would wake up at that specific time to look at the clock, to get a key, to understand the dream. Because everything that a believer does should be based on the Scripture. The Scripture is our foundation. Dreams need Scriptures as well. So I always search the Scripture till I can find a word, because the Bible says that he promises that his word will not return void, but it will accomplish that which it has been sent to. So if I have a Scripture, now I can begin to stand on the Word of God and say, this is what you said to me on this day. You said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You've anointed me. I'm going to preach good tidings, that you have sent me to heal brokenhearted, that I am to proclaim liberty to the captives and to set them free, opening prison doors. And so I have now a word that's going to go, that the angels are also going to listen to. The angels listen to God's word so they can perform it. So as I proclaim that, I decree it, I prophesy it, I pray it, angels go forth and they begin to lay the groundwork so those things can happen. Angels are very vital in the dream ministry, in the healing ministry, in any ministry, any type of ministry that you have. We need the angels because they're the ones that have the power, the strength, and they go forth to do God's word as he as it comes forth. They pay attention. They take heed to his word.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
So numbers are a great thing as far as dreams go. We have a number card that has hundreds of different meanings of what numbers represent.
One thing that caught my attention that you mentioned that you might want to just give a couple senses of clarity on, we do have another caller, I think, but how God works through trances.
Well, a lot of times when God gives us a trance, it's because he has something very powerful that he wants to speak to us. And so he needs to take our mind out of it so that it can bypass our intellect and our mind and go straight to our spirit man. And so he uses trances in order to do that. Peter had a trance where he received his calling to the Gentiles. He wasn't interested in eating any of those creatures that were in that sheet coming down. But the Lord says, no, don't call them unclean. And so God had to put him in a trance in order to bypass his tradition and his mindset. And a trance is a God-induced condition in which ordinary consciousness and the perception of the natural circumstances are withheld, so that our soul is suspended only to the vision imparted by God. So it's like God puts us in a tunnel and says, pay attention to this, listen to this, and see this. And he begins to focus something on it. And our bodies, a lot of times our five senses are suspended, causing time to almost feel like it's standing still. sometimes like a low trance would be even like a daydream where you just kind of drift off and, you know, you don't hear the music in the room. You don't hear the people talking anymore. You're just going off on your own little vacation, so to speak. that's a low-level trance, you know, where you're just kind of in a contemplated, you're detached from your physical surroundings. And so your soul is momentarily transported out of the body, or it's preoccupied or distracted from present conditions as a, in the looking at things in the unseen world. There's a coexisting spiritual realm that is all around us, but very seldom our eyes are open to see it, where we can see the angels and we can see the gates of heaven and we can see the heavens opened and see the door in heaven standing open, giving us an invitation to come up in Revelation 4. And so a lot of times a trance is a going across or entering into a type of hypnotic or cataleptic or ecstatic state detached from one's physical surroundings, like a dazed state or between sleeping and waking, or like you're in a stupor. And trances can occur, you know, during times of fervent prayer or intercession, or if we've been on a season of fasting or in meditations. And a lot of times when you're reading the scripture, you can go into a trance and begin to enter into one of the biblical stories and see those stories played out while you're in a trance state. We have a ministry teams that go out onto the college campuses doing dream interpretation there at the student body centers on different campuses here in Texas. And just this last week, the team was there ministering, and there was a young man who they were ministering to him. He told them their dream, and all of a sudden his head dropped, and he quit talking, and he quit moving, and he was just sitting there, and they kept calling his name, and he didn't respond. They called his name, he didn't respond, and he was like that for several minutes. And they thought, well, did he go into, did he fall asleep? Did he go into a seizure or pass out? You know, but he was sitting up straight. And then finally, he came back to himself, and he said, I was in a trance. And he said, and in this trance, I saw a scroll being given to me, and there was writing on the scroll, and he began to tell what the writing on the scroll had said. And we see, you know, scrolls being given to people in the Bible where it says, take this scroll and eat it, and it's going to be sweet in your mouth but bitter in your belly. And so we see those things taking place, but to see it happen right there with the youth on a college campus while someone's interpreting his dream, he just checked out. God spoke to him clearly, gave him a vision in the trance with clear strategies written upon the scroll, and he said, I need a pen. And he began to write down the message that God gave him, and it all dealt with faith. God was increasing his faith. So he says, this message on faith is what God gave me while I was in this trance.
Well,
and
we're
so
going to...
Pardon?
Go ahead.
So it was just a whole big message that God was giving him, keys on how he was going to increase his trance. So trances are a wonderful tool because they put us in a position to receive visions from God, the same way that sleep positions us to receive dreams from God. And so Daniel fell into a trance before the angel of the Lord when the angel came and appeared. Often people fall into trances because angels come from a much higher glory realm than we're used to dwelling in. So when a heavenly being comes, people fall into trances. You know, Daniel 8:15 talks about it. He says, I was afraid and fell on my face. And he says, and I was in a deep sleep with my face to the ground. So a lot of times trances, we fall prostrate right on our face. And the angel has to touch the person again a lot of times to put strength back into them. Because angels just like us, we don't want to talk to somebody's back of their hairy head. We'd much rather talk face to face with somebody to communicate to them. So even though people fall into trances when angels come, and the other thing you hear is fear not, because angels are so awesome that there is a fear that comes with their very presence when they enter the room. Or if they come in their glory, even in your dream, there's an awesomeness or a fear that comes when angels come in all their glory. So a lot of times in our dreams, they come just clothed as regular, everyday, ordinary humans. It's hard to differentiate them as angels in our dream, although they do come with all their, you know, wings and glory in dreams as well. But mostly they come dressed more like humans in our dream.
Mm.
And so it's hard sometimes to discern that they indeed are angels. But the angel touches Daniel and strengthens him and lifts him up on his feet, because in Daniel 10 it says that no strength remains in me, and my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength, and I was in deep sleep on my face. You know, in Ezekiel, he's another character in the Bible that sees a rainbow glory of the seven spirits of God, and he hears an audible voice in a trance in Ezekiel 1:28. And it says in that passage as well that he fell on his face. And so trances, there's a falling down that takes place a lot of times.
Well,
like
Barbie,
said,
we have three more callers. We might be able to fit them in if we give them about
sure.
5 minutes for each dream. So
okay.
Let me encourage you callers to tell your dream concisely. And first we have, let's see, do you say it, Ariel on the line?
Ariel.
Uh-huh. Do you have a dream to share?
Yeah. I've had two of similar dreams. Both they consist of my mom and my daughter and the rapture. Basically, they're like the same. The last dream that I had of it was I was standing by the house that I grew up in, and I was beside the road, and there's this big tree right next to it. And all of a sudden, I just kind of felt like there was a light coming down from the sky, like right straight on me. And I felt a pulling towards the sky. And I kind of wanted to refuse it because I knew what was happening. And I thought about my daughter. And then I just realized that she's okay and she's already taken if this is what's happening. So I let God take me into it, and I just raised my hands towards the sky. And then all of a sudden it stopped, and I was in this room. And it was kind of dark, and there wasn't anybody in there. So I looked around, and I immediately thought of my daughter again. So I started to look for her. I opened the door, and I was inside of my mom's house in her living room. She was sitting on the couch, and my daughter was on her lap. And she said, Ariel, it's almost time. And I looked at her, and I said, I know. In the other dream, I told my mom that it's almost time. Because of the sky's color, because it was different colors.
Okay.
I think that you know, a lot of people now are having end time dreams, and I think that does deal with some of the end times where God wants to catch you up. The other thing is he wants to take you higher, and as a mom, you know, your precious treasure is your baby, your child. And so your heart is saying, well, what about the next generation? So you have three generations in that dream. You have yourself, you have your mother, and you have the next generation as well. So there's God is dealing with past, present, and future. You know, he's got three different generations there that he's dealing with, and but they're all in the house. Houses a lot of times represent the person. So you were found in your mom's house, which is where you were birthed out of, your mom's house. So you've got your mother, you've got yourself, and you've got your little girl. So it speaks of all these generations that God is preparing to take them into the heavenly realms, to prepare them for the rapture. So I think it's just, you know, I think we've got a while to go because God's still waiting for a church that's without spot or wrinkle. And a church that's victorious and moving in power. So I believe that before the rapture comes, that he is going to have another great outpouring, something mm-hmm. that we haven't seen to a magnitude. It's going to eclipse the 1950s move of the healing revival. So God wants us to begin to move in the realm of the spirit at a much greater level. And I think part of that, of you surrendering yourself and saying, okay, Lord, I put my child in your hands, and you go ahead and take all of me. And that was strategic for you because that's, you know, nobody wants can take care of their babies better than that person who has that baby. And so you were willing to surrender yourself totally to the Lord and say, okay, I trust you. I know that you will not do me harm, and you're going to take care of my child, and you're going to take me into a place of safety. So I do believe that that's, you know, preparing you to move in a higher level. And you're thinking about the future, you're thinking about your family, and I think you're being very responsible and using a lot of wisdom in that.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank you for sharing that. We're all encouraged.
Thank you.
Let me check on one more quickly here. Area code 901.
Yes.
Elaine?
Yes,
do you have a dream to share?
Yes, I sure do. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. We have just a few minutes, so we'll see if we can cover it.
Sure. I was in a hospital, but I wasn't a patient. I was actually there for a meeting, and I met with a Caucasian lady, and she was very affluent. And we walked through the corridors, and then we came into this room, and there were two babies sitting on, like, a counter. One of the babies was laying on, like a baby mattress, and the other baby was sitting up with her back propped against the mattress. And she had the brightest blue eyes, and she had a little headband on, and she had yellow and white polka dot dress, but it was mostly yellow with the white polka dots. And she had on the little ankle lace socks with some really pretty yellow shoes that matched the dress. And over, not far from the counter, there were two ladies, and they were two African-American ladies. One was sitting, like, in a rocking chair, and the other was standing right next to her, but they were watching the babies as they sat on the counter. And as the lady was showing me around in that room, the baby in the yellow dress reached for her, and she says, "Oh, this is my daughter." And she picked the baby up, and she was just the happiest baby I'd ever seen, and she was just so excited. And her mom picked her up, and then she continued to show me around the room, and then we went out and walked down the corridor again. And then I woke up.
Hospice talks about sometimes it's something that needs to be healed. Sometimes there's it depends. Since these are babies being birthed, I think that it's it could be a need for more patience being given since you saw the new babies and stuff. Let me think. A yellow dress would indicate that was a gift of God being given. That little baby. A lot of times babies will represent new things coming into somebody's life. And you saw, how many babies were there?
There were two, yes.
Two. One was in the yellow, and that's the one that you focused on the most.
Yes.
What was the other one doing?
She was asleep. Well, I don't know what the gender was, but that baby was actually asleep. And what really caught my attention most when I woke up from the dream and wrote it down was that the baby's dress was so pretty. It was yellow. I mean, the yellow was just so bright. And, again, I mean, this was just a happy baby. She was just excited.
Well, yellow is the color of celebration. It's the color of joy and happiness. It's the color of having a renewed mind as well. And so yellow also is a representation of a gift from God. So I think that there's, you know, the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And God brought a new something into where you were able to focus on it and see it, because that's kind of what stood out to me, too, as you were telling the dream, was this baby in yellow. So I really believe that there's a season that's coming into your life that God's bringing healing to you, and that the sorrow and grief of the past is going to flee away, and that there's a new thing coming that's going to bring you a bunch of happiness and joy, and that there's a celebration that'll happen, and you're going to be clothed with a new gift from God that He's going to entrust in your hands. And there are those that were just sitting around there, very comfortable just sitting and watching. But I believe that, you know, when God puts this new gift in your hands, that you're going to be a doer of the word, that you're going to begin to be able to move out and bring healing and restoration to other people. And I think that you've had to require patience through this season that you've been going through in your life. But you've been faithful in that, and you've stood, and the Lord's getting ready to reward your patience and your diligence by giving you new gifts that are going to bring a lot of joy, not only to you, but to others. I mean, people could see that little baby. You know, they were watching it. They were enchanted by it. They thought, you know, this is really a special child. And so I think that, you know, that special gift, that specialness that's in you, that God's going to entrust you with something new that's going to be a blessing not only to you, but to others as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome.
Wow, you are fast. Wow. Okay. I guess our other callers decided not to try. Wow. Wow.
I just love the way you turn everything around so positive, Barbie. Mm-hmm. You're just such a gift to us. You really are, and I just thank you for, you can tell that you've just spent so much time with the Lord and you've paid a high price, so thank you for coming on the show.
Well, I've enjoyed every minute of it. You know, I think a lot of times people are afraid to share their dreams because they don't know what it means, and so they're afraid it's something negative, when I would say 99.9% of the time it's something very beautiful. You know, God never beats us up, even when we fail or sin or do things that we're ashamed of. He always redeems and restores, and he's all about love and reconciliation and encouraging. So I think it's important, you know, when you minister to somebody, that you minister out of his heart and
mm-hmm.
his heart of love, and his heart is always to restore, to bless, to increase, to love on his kids. He's a great father, and what father would want to harm his child or put his child down? He wants to give us the best and do the most. You know, it's his goodness that leads us to repentance.
Amen.
Mm. Yeah.
Amen.
Do you have an itinerary? Are you coming up on any conferences that we should know about?
I'm going to be in Florida coming up. I'll be in Orlando at some home groups there, and then I'm going to be doing a book signing at a Jacksonville bookstore, and I'll be doing a revelatory encounter at an Episcopal church there in Lakeland, Florida. We teach on healing, teach on the revelatory ministry or the prophetic ministry. I have trainings on angelic encounters, how to operate with the angelic realm. We do the dream encounters. So we have a lot of resources and training, but the next trips I have are heading to Florida. Also on YouTube, a lot of people can look up different videos, teaching videos that we have out there on YouTube for people that are free. They can just click on and begin to absorb the different things. We have 3 free meetings that we do here in Texas every month. I would just encourage people to go to my website, barbiebreathitt.com, and look up the events. And also, we send out an email letters once a month if people are interested in some of my teachings. We've been featured in Elijah List. Destiny Image
right.
has taken, they're going to be publishing 2 of my other books as they, and that they're looking at the Dream Encounter book as well. And they can get that on Amazon.com, BarbieBreathitt.com. They just have to look up Dream Encounter, Seeing Your Destiny from God's Perspective. So we have a lot of resources. God's called us to media, and so I'm developing resources that can help people. They're also thinking about giving us a television show through Destiny Image. So there's a lot of neat things that are happening. And just trying to make resources available so that people can understand their symbols. Just that's why we put our 2-volume dream symbol cards on sale, and I give away my book. So if they buy the symbols, they get the book free. So I just encourage people to go to the website because our itineraries change, and we get invitations at different times, and so we try to keep that updated so people can find out where we're going to be in different areas. Also, I just started a fan page, Barbie Breathitt,
right.
I think it's called Dream Encounter Book, because my Facebook page got full, and we had 650 people waiting to click on, and I don't know how to get them on.
Oh, my gosh. I got your notice myself today.
I thought, just go to the fan page. I don't even know how to make a link to get them there, but you're trying to get... People are hungry for dreams, because
mm-hmm.
God is speaking to them in dreams every night. And so you're getting a different message from God every night in your dreams. And I think it's important that people learn how to interpret them. And if they can't learn to interpret it for themselves, find somebody who is trained in dream interpretation from a Christian perspective, though, not from a secular or a Jungian, Gestalt, Freudian, the different things. Because if you took their interpreting techniques and applied it to the Bible, you would not come up with the correct interpretation that's in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So God has trained me in what I call the ancient Hebraic method, which is just studying the Bible, studying the parables in the Bible, and capturing the different symbols and listening to the Holy Spirit explain what those different symbols mean, so that I'm able to share a wealth of knowledge with people that way.
One last question, and we only have a couple minutes to put on it, but I think sometimes people don't share their dreams because they're so short. How could it mean anything? Like, The other night I dreamed that I was teaching my daughter, who's about 32, how to nurse a baby, and she already knows how, but never mind. You know, I dreamed that I was teaching her that, and milk was just going everywhere, so I pitched in to teach her. And but then before that, I think maybe I was nursing her in the dream, or maybe after. Somehow I was nursing somebody, and I won't even say how old I am, and but this baby, for some reason, was on its stomach nursing, and I'm looking like, I've never seen that before, and that was the whole dream.
I think there are a lot of new things. Babies representing the new that's coming, this new move of God, the new gifts, the new people coming into the kingdom, and these babies are growing so much quicker and faster. We have newborn babies now that are talking in full sentences, babies that are driving cars, babies that are doing amazing things because this generation is being brought up now, and those ones that are going to be born again Christians coming into this new move of God are going to come in at a much higher level than those of us who have been serving the Lord our whole life, and they're just going to blow us away because they're going to come into the miraculous and they're going to believe what the Bible says. So these nursing, you're teaching your daughter to nurse, go out here and give milk, give the babies milk, because babies have to have milk at first. So you give them the milk of the Word, and then from the milk they can turn into the meat of the Word as they begin to mature. But these are dreams that a lot of people are having about babies, and it's the new harvest that's coming in. Those are our babies coming in, and they're going to take the milk of the Word and be eating the meat of the Word in a very, very short time. There's an acceleration that's been released. So we know that God is breathing upon these newborns that are going to be coming in, and they're going to spring into doing the gifts, signs, wonders, and evangelizing. You know, it's the ones that don't know God that can turn right back around to be their friends who don't know God. Those of us who have been saved for years and years, we've kind of lost touch with all of our unsaved friends, which is a shame because those are the ones we need to befriend. But I believe God separates us for a time and a season in order to train and equip us. He takes us out of Egypt, but then once we're mature, we're trained and equipped, He sends us back into Egypt and says, now go win the lost, deliver them from their captivity, Amen. And show them the true light.
Amen. I've been called a reproducer of reproducers, but I hadn't quite taken it in this sense, but the symbolism is certainly there. And I believe that we need to be not only a walking expression of God's love and power, we need to be imparting hope and encouragement to people because, you know, I was talking to the people in my ministry training school about invite more people. We're starting over. You know, this is a new semester. Invite them. And they were saying we are, but it's like they don't really believe that their lives can be changed. And I said, that's what we need to impart to them, that there is real hope to believe for just giant transformation in your life. Amen. Barbie, would you pray for our listeners and just impart whatever God leads you to do?
Lord, I just thank you that you are all-knowing, you're all-powerful, you're all-seeing, and that you have each one of us in the palm of your hand, and that no man can take us from you. Lord, I just ask that you would make yourself real to each one of our listeners tonight. And Lord, that even as this show is replayed and seen and heard in other places, Lord, I ask that your spirit would just invade and quicken them. Lord, I ask that you would heal the brokenhearted, that you would remove the hopelessness, and that you would bring forth hope that would bring strength and joy back into their lives. Father, I ask that you would invade their dreams by your spirit, that you would hover over them in the night season, and that you would imprint your strategies, your plans, your purposes onto each person's heart, and that you would speak to us through your love, that you would release your revelation knowledge to us. I ask that you would dispatch angels to watch over us and to minister to us and around us, Lord, that you would dispatch them from heaven and heavenly headquarters, and that they would go before us, and that they would walk with us and form up a rear guard behind us. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would cause us to know you in a depth that we have not known you before, and that you would direct us towards Jesus, and that we would know him in dimensions that surpass our understanding, Lord. Let us see your greatness. Let us see your majesty. Let us gaze into the glory realm. Lord, I ask that you would give us each dreams, and that you'd help us to remember our dreams. Then we could recall the dreams, and that we could come into the understanding of our dreams. Lord, I just ask that you would encourage us to steward the dreams that you give us so that we could see them as treasures and not just as something that we thought of or just something that popped into our our minds at random. But, Lord, that we would begin to understand your symbolic language, that we'd be able to remember the symbols and to start capturing the symbols that you speak to us in. Lord, let us recall the dreams. And,
mm-hmm.
Father, I just ask that you would cause yourself to be seen. Open our eyes to see. This is the year of dreams. This is the year of visions. This is the year of the seer. Lord, let us behold you in all of your glory and your majesty. Let our hearts open wide to every aspect that you want to give us. Father, I ask that you would cause us to increase, that you would cause us to multiply, and that we would be transformed into your image from glory to glory,
mm-hmm.
and that you would enable us to soar above the things of this world and not be trampled underneath. Lord, I ask that you cause us to be salt, you cause us to be light, and that you take away a spirit of fear and that you give us boldness. And to know that those things that you have placed within us, that they are from you, and that we can accomplish great things through your power. Lord, that it's the Christ in us that gives us the hope of glory. So, Christ, I ask that you step out of us and that you show yourself bold and strong through us. And, Lord, that we would be witnesses to you, both here in our cities and out to the uttermost parts of the world. Lord, that you would just cause us to love you with a pure heart, and that we'd have clean hands to serve you, and that we would be all that you have created us to be. Lord, I just ask that you cause us to prosper and to be in health as our soul prospers. So cause
mm-hmm.
us to be hungry and to search after you with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, that you might be found of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
And Lord, we just respond to that. We just give to you our eyes, our natural eyes and our spiritual eyes, and ask for them to be opened wide to see you, to see your glory. And any way that we may have misused our eyes and caused ourselves to sin, we just repent. We renounce any agreements
mm-hmm.
we've had with the enemy to use our eyes for wrong things. And we receive your forgiveness. They were totally forgiven, and that we will be set apart to see into the spiritual realm, to know you and to know you better, and to see and watch to hear, like Habakkuk said, what you have to say to us, that we'll write the vision that you give us, that we'll treasure it, as Barbie said. And we give you our ears. We give you our spiritual ears that we can hear you speaking to us, speaking through us, and that we can hear the interpretation of our dreams and know exactly what you're saying, and it won't be defiled by any other notions that we've got. We just thank you, Lord, that you are a talking God and that you want to communicate with us in any way that we'll receive it. And I just thank you, Lord. We just thank you that you have been speaking through dreams and visions from Genesis to Revelation in the Bible. We just thank you for it. We just praise your name, that it's always you pursuing us. And I pray that we will be good sons and daughters, that we will have such a hunger to know you, to sit on your lap, to receive your love and let it cast out our fears of being in your presence, and that we will be the ones that will minister to you and just minister to you. And you say you inhabit our praise, and that we will be faithful to give you thanks, to give you praise, and that you can trust us not only with the secrets of your hearts, but other people's hearts, to show us areas in our own soul that don't line up with you. And we'll grow quickly. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Well, Barbie, I hope you can be with us again sometime. That was wonderful.
We would love to do
that. That was wonderful. We didn't cover near enough tonight.
She has to come back.
Well, we want to invite you all to join us again next week for more Crosswalk Talk.
You have been listening to Crosswalk Talk with Reverend Carlotta Waldman and Reverend Pat Torek. For more information about Personal Restoration Prayer Ministry, our local healing prayer and worship meetings, ministry training seminars, or free healing articles, go to our website, crosswalklife.com. at www.cwlinc.com. If you would like a copy of this message, you can download it on our website. If you would like to help keep Crosswalk Talk on this station, please mail your tax-deductible donation to Crosswalk Talk, P.O. Box 1535, Washington, Pennsylvania, 15301. Again, that's Crosswalk Talk, P.O. Box 1535, Washington, Pennsylvania, 15301. And please join us next week for more Crosswalk Talk.
But oh God, I just want you. I could search for